2 Timothy chapter 4, hear now the word of our Lord. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, and have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen.
Dave read this morning the last words of Paul while he was in Rome, where he was captured, and he was eventually killed, had his head chopped off. And this morning I want to go back to the other end of Paul's beginning in the scripture and speak to you about the twofold calling of Paul. I have always been grateful that the Lord doesn't see us for what we are. He doesn't see us for what we have done, but rather he sees us for what we can become. Especially through a life that's dedicated to him. And the most extraordinary example of this is, of course, I think, the life of Paul. Few people realize what a renegade and a hothead Paul was. He was one bad hombre. And he even describes himself. He knew how bad he was. He persecuted, he murdered, he killed. And yet God saw him for something that he could become. And the Apostle Paul, probably as much as any other man, is responsible for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout Asia Minor and that part of the world. He took a man who did not believe and turned him around and used him for his purpose in spreading the gospel and even writing 14 books of the New Testament. And just to see how bad he was, turn, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Acts, the 26th chapter of the book of Acts. And this morning we're going to read more scripture than we typically read. A lot more scripture than we typically read. The only difference is you're not going to have to look it all up so much. It's all located in pretty much one place. But here in the 26th chapter of Acts, page 1651, you'll find there in that 26th chapter, in verse 9, where Paul describes how he what he was. In verse 9 he says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blasphemy. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Paul murdered and killed. He was there at the stoning of Stephen, probably holding Stephen's coat while he was stoned. He hated the Jews of Nazareth and anyone who believed or had anything to do with him. And like all the other Pharisees, and Paul was a Pharisee, he was out to get them. He was out to kill them. He was out to put them in prison. if he could. And he had the authority of the priest, believe it or not, to do so. But the Lord had a different plan for Paul, and we can read about it in the book of Acts. So let's take a look where Paul comes on the scene, if you will, and back up now to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9. And let's look first at just the first two verses of that chapter, of chapter 9, verse 1, and Saul, and he was called Saul until after his conversion, and his name was changed to Paul. But verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter. Now that word slaughter is translated almost every time in Scripture, murder. Here it happens to be translated slaughter, and I think there's only one other place where it's translated something else. But usually that word is translated murder. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way. Now you're going to see that word this way or the way. You remember here not too many years ago there was a translation of the Bible called The Way. This is where it comes from. And we'll see that here in some of the verses that we read. The way. If he found any of this way or the way, that were those who were following Jesus Christ. Whether they were men or women, didn't make any difference. He killed them anyway. That he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. So here he was seeking authority from the priest, believe it or not. And it was all considered to be okay because he had the authority of the priest. So let's go on and read verses 3 through 6. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, if you notice, there's no question there about who it was. I think if the Lord appeared to you, you would also know, Lord. You wouldn't have any doubts about it. He didn't either. He said, Lord, who is it? And the other thing about these three verses is that term kick against the pricks. Do you know what that is? When you hitch up a horse to a double tree or a single horse, and there's that bar behind the horse, and that horse, if he kicks back, he can't kick up in the back like this. He kicks that bar. That's called a prick. And the horse learns not to do that because it hurts. It bruises his legs. So the Lord's asking him, Paul, it's hard to kick against the pricks. It's hard to kick against me. And Paul said, What will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, there's something missing here in this account. Can any of you tell me what is missing? What is it that's missing? I think you'll be surprised later on. It's not here. There's no evidence of it here. So let's go on. Let's read on. Verse 17, And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and rose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that is, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the priest, the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwell at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Paul, and by the way, this is pretty early. This is like 37, 38 A.D. Paul, in effect, switches sides. It's like he just turns over and goes over on the other team and starts to play on the other team. And Paul was a very talented man. He was a Roman citizen. He had been a Pharisee. He was taught. He was educated. He was a Roman citizen. He had to be a self-starter. He spoke Hebrew, Greek, Arabic. He was an unusual man. And he immediately, once he switched teams, began to make a difference. And he became very effective for the cause of Christ. So we go on in verse 23. And after that, many days were fulfilled, and the Jews took counsel to kill him. But there laying wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. And then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. He tried to join himself to the disciples. But they were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they were about to slay him. The hunter became the hunted for the cause of Christ. This bad armory that switched sides is now being hunted. Now, over the next 10 chapters in this book of Acts, you can read about Paul's amazing ministry over these next 10 chapters, and it covers some probably some 30 years that he ministered. He ministered to the dispersion. That was those Jews that were out of Jerusalem and scattered around Asia Minor. And all the time he was on the run. And during that time he was beat and shipwrecked and imprisoned time and time again. And he goes to Antioch, to Perga, Cyprus, Lystra, Iconium, to Asia Minor, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, Corinth, Ephesus, Macedonia, and preaching the gospel on the run. And finally, he finds himself back to Jerusalem, where he is apprehended and imprisoned. And they're going to kill him. Turn now, skip 30 years or so, and we jump over to Acts 21. What I just described to you occurred during these 10 chapters or so during the book of Acts. Turn over to chapter 21 and go down to verse 30. And here Paul has come back to Jerusalem. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating off Paul. And then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing, some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. So here, Paul is taken from the people. He's taken from the Jews that have been out to get him and to kill him. And he's taken into the authorities at that time. And so we read then in chapter 22 where Paul is now at the castle. And in 22, he speaks. In chapter 22, go to verse 1, Paul says, "Men and brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law and the fathers, and was zealous towards God as ye all are this day." So here he's showing that he can speak Hebrew. He's an educated man, highly educated. He's a Roman citizen, and he was a Pharisee. He knew exactly what the Jews believed. He knew what the law of the Jews was. Verse 4, "And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the highest priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound into Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come high into Damascus, about noon suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest bear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Something's missing. Here in this second account, there's something missing. What is it? We'll see later on. Verse 16. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So whatever it was that Paul was called to do, that he shall bear a witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Whatever he had seen and whatever he had heard about Christ, what he knew, he had lived through that time when Christ was on earth and when they killed him. And so he was to be a witness of that. And that was okay with Paul. So he arose up and was baptized for the commission that he was given at that point on the Damascus Road. Verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and I saw him saying to me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know whereof they cried to so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? And when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. And then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? And he said, Yea. And the chief captain answered with a great sum obtained as this freedom. And Paul said, I was born free. He didn't pay for it. He was born that way, a free man. As a result now of the authorities finding out that Paul was actually a Roman citizen, the results of this were that they decided that since he was a Roman and he was appealing to the courts of Caesar, that they were going to have to take him and make absolutely sure that the Jews did not get a hold of him. And so you can read in chapter 23 where they took 200 soldiers, 200 foot soldiers. They took 200 spear men that carried the spear. There's 400 men. They took 70 horses. And this entourage takes place, and they take Paul to Caesarea before the governor or the procurator named Felix. Now, when Paul gets before Felix, Felix is a typical politician. He was the governor of that part of the world, and he was willing to keep the Jews happy. And so what he did, he kept Paul imprisoned for 2 whole years. Now, what he was trying to do, he was trying to appease the Jews and keep the Jews happy, but also he was trying to get the money. Because in Paul's travels in all those places that I told you, he was collecting money for the poor at Jerusalem. And Paul had other men with him, and he had that money. And Felix wanted him to pay him for his freedom. But Paul wouldn't do it. Now, eventually, Felix is replaced by the next governor named Festus. And Festus arranges for Paul as a Roman citizen. He arranged for Paul to go before King Agrippa because Paul had appealed to be tried in the court of Caesar as a Roman citizen. So King Agrippa comes down to Caesarea to rule with regard to Paul. And so we have a record of that in chapter 26. If you jump over to chapter 26. And before King Agrippa, Paul is allowed to speak. In verse 1, then Agrippa said, Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly, serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them off in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme me. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them into strange cities. Now, verse 13. Here is the third recording of the event on the Damascus Road. The first one was told, of course, by Luke and by Ananias. The second one, in chapter 22, was by Paul. And now again, here in chapter 26, by Paul again. But in this account, we find the rest of the story that was never revealed in the preceding accounts or recordings of this Damascus Road event. And so we go to verse 12, whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. Verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness of both these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan and to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. What is it here that's been revealed that was not revealed before? He preached to the Gentiles all through his ministry. He went to the synagogue first, and then he talked to the Gentiles as well. So that wasn't anything new. Verse 16. Let's read it again. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. One, to make thee a minister and a witness both of both. So we're talking about two things here. Before was only revealed one. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Paul knew from day one on the Damascus Road that he had two commissions. One, to minister to that which he had seen and heard. He was a witness. You talk about being a witness. Technically, to be a witness, you have to have seen the event. You hear today of Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, technically, they're not witnesses. We are not witnesses. We witnessed, but we did not see the actual event. Paul did. So one, he was to minister to that which he had seen and heard. And then the second thing, and those things in which should be revealed. He didn't know what it was, but he knew that it would involve fetters and chains. Let's back up a little bit to chapter 20, verse 22 of chapter 20. And now, behold, I go, bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He was perfectly willing, whatever it was, but he knew it involved bonds, and he had been in prison a lot. He knew that he was going to be in fetters and chains. But in verse 25, he says, And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. I think he was at Ephesus here. And he knew that he wasn't coming back. So let's go back now to chapter 26 and see what transpires as he speaks with King Agrippa in his own defense. And we'll pick up with verse 19 of that 26th chapter. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meant for repentance. For this cause the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. In other words, it wasn't done in secret. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoke, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. And then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. And he had been there 4 years. They took him off to Rome, and he was in Rome for 2 years, and he was there at Caesarea for 2 years. So he was imprisoned there a total of 4 years before a flash of a sword cut off his head. But it was only in Rome was the condition of imprisonment lifted to a title. He had been imprisoned many, many times, beaten and scourged, and now spent 4 years in bonds. But now this condition of imprisonment has been lifted to the dignity of a title. Turn over to Ephesians. The third chapter of Ephesians, page 1763. And in this third chapter of Ephesians, we now begin to see here and in other places as well, the title that now Paul has. In chapter 3, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Turn over to the fourth chapter, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy. He is now in bonds, in fetters, and in chains for the cause of Christ. And if you'll look back in chapter 3, in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. By revelation, here he is referring back to Acts 26, verse 16, where it says, to make thee a minister and a witness, both, more than one, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear and reveal unto you. Never one word of prophecy speaks of that which was revealed to Paul while he was in bonds and when he wrote Ephesians and the last books, the last seven books that he penned. Never prophesied, never revealed, but made known through one of the most despicable, dastardly human beings until he was changed by the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to look and study your word. How grateful we are of the record that you have left us. We ask you would continue to give us understanding and open hearts and minds as we study and learn. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.